Hello, folks. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Federalist Files. I have recorded this now two times, and both times it has crashed on me. I'm trying to figure out a way here, because I record on Photo Booth. I stop the recording after like 45, 50 minutes each time, and then it tells me that I have absolutely nothing saved. So, for whatever reason, somebody does not want me to put out a podcast on what I was going to talk about today. So I've been messing around with some open source software, some streaming software, because I couldn't find anything else to record. And then I found OBX, which is funny. I looked into OBX when I originally started podcast streaming, or not really streaming, just podcasting, but it is like a streaming open source screen capture software. So kind of bear with me here. I'm going to try to see how this works out. I think so far we're doing okay. I think. We'll see. I might be coming in a little too loud or something, but this is going to be a trial and error process, unfortunately, because I just don't have the time to sit here and mess with this all day. I was going to talk about something that everybody knows about and everyone's been talking about all week. I know it sucks. I know that you probably don't want to hear it from me, but I think I owe it to you all. Some of this Israel-Palestine stuff, I owe you my opinion on it. I think it's going to be a lot different than what you've been seeing from the conservatives, the right wing. You're seeing from Ben Shapiro's posting babies that are burnt. Some weird info saying it's like CGI or something, but apparently it isn't. I don't know. The statement right now is kind of, if you don't condemn Hamas, then you're okay with terrorism. But the problem, it's like a little catch-22 right now. If you go ahead and you condemn, like, obviously no one agrees with terrorists, right? I mean, there's those psychos that are out in New York City protesting and shit, but otherwise no one really gives a fuck. Like, nobody stands by terrorism, right? No one stands by killing a bunch of innocent people for no reason. But if you condemn Hamas, it kind of just means that you are condoning Israel sending missiles over to civilian populations because Hamas is circulating those civilian populations. So it's kind of like a weird catch-22, and they kind of, I think what people are trying to do is they're trying to like attempt to catch you in something. But it's funny because like those same lefties that are coming out talking about that shit are the same lefties that were calling all of the January 6th protesters white supremacists. So it's kind of like, Because the people that are coming out and saying this are Jews, right? Jews in America are totally different than Jews in the Middle East or Arab countries in terms of, like, what's the best way to explain it? In terms of culture. Arab Jews, I would imagine, are probably more conservative than Jews in America. And Jews in America think they have all this in common because they don't believe in Jesus with other people that are in Arab countries. They feel like they have some sort of shared thing going on. So I was actually going to go over who, over the years, which I'll try it right now, occupied Israel. Let's see how this works with the software now. So you have a bunch of different periods of time. You have the ancient periods where the Canaanites were the earliest inhabitants, we believe, of Israel, that area. And the Canaanites were pagans, right? So you hear this often, you hear this debate where, see, I don't know if this is showing my full screen or not. It looks like it's only showing part of it on my screen. But then when I go back and I look at the software, it shows as the full site. So we're going to end up just seeing how this goes, right? And I'm not going to make any edits. It is what it is. If it comes out looking like shit, it comes out looking like shit. And then next time I'll try to figure it out. Or next time I just won't use this software. But I do like the idea of the screen capture. I think it's very useful. I don't know why the hell. I think I was just technically so... Now I work in a tech job, so I'm kind of technically more advanced than I was before. I didn't understand how to work any of this software at the time. Open source shit. Open source usually is a little bit more difficult. It requires more configuring on your own. But it is more modifiable for that reason, so it is cool. I would tell you, all of you folks that are not like really techie, if you're looking for some sort of tech product that you have to pay for, a lot of the times just look up for an open source version, or that's the way I would go, or like an old license of something, because then you don't have to pay for it. Because paying for shit when you don't need to fucking sucks. I don't want to do that shit either. So ancient periods, like I said, you had a bunch of pagans, or the Canaanites, which are actually written about in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, God tells the Hebrews, so first off, the Israelites, right? The Israelites are the followers and descendants of Jacob. Jacob is later called Israel, named Israel by God, right? So the Israelites are a subsect of Hebrews that are in Egypt. The Israelites follow Jacob to Israel. They are called the Israelites. They are led by figures like Moses and Joshua. Jacob is a son of Abraham, and I believe Joshua is the son of Jacob, I believe. So as time went on, it was Israel itself was occupied by all different empires. As you can see, the Assyrians, I looked up, those are Christians. The Babylonians, I believe, were Christians as well. Persians, that was before Persians, if I had to guess. The Persians and the Greeks were probably mythology. Well, I know the Greeks definitely were. They were pagans, believed in multiple gods. So then you have the Roman period, 63 BCE. The Roman Republic held it down. This led to the Jewish-Roman Wars. So at this time, BCE, there were no Christians because God had not passed away yet. God was not born yet. So the Jewish-Roman Wars is what they called them. In the Old Testament, you find a lot of stuff. Like when they talk about the chosen people, if you ever hear a Jew say that they're the chosen people, it's not true. The chosen people were Hebrews. They were not Jews. This idea of like Judaism kind of came after God was, or after Jesus' death. It's kind of where Christians and Jews decided to part ways. There was a bifurcation at that point. So for a long time, the chosen people, when God was speaking to Moses, the chosen people are the Hebrews. They're not the Jews. And the Hebrews were mostly descendants of people that were in Egypt. They were Egyptian slaves. If anybody's familiar with the story of Moses and him saving the Hebrews and parting the Red Sea so that they can walk through it while all of the Egyptian warriors died running in to try to get them back, try to get the slaves back. So, yeah, the Jewish-Roman Wars, the eventual destruction of the Second Temple, 70 CE after Christ. After the Roman Empire, there was the Byzantine period. And I believe, if I had to look that up, let's see how this works. Oh boy. I do remember looking all of these things up before the podcast, by the way, folks. So I've done this podcast now like 3 times. So that was an extension of the Roman Empire. Once again, those were probably Christians, if I had to guess. So, well, the point I'm trying to make is, like, nobody really owns that land. The statement that somebody owns it because somebody was there, you know, 50, 60 years ago does not mean that you own the land, whether you were kicked off or not. Well, no one really cares, right? Because over time, over the last 3,000 years at this point, because that's how far you can dock it back to the Canaanites, you can record people being there or not being there. Is kind of the point. And it's all different people that have been rolling in and taking over. And I think that for Muslims, it is kind of an important part. Israel is an important area for them because they were able to complete a caliphate there. I believe like there's been like 4 caliphates in the lifetime of Islam, and they were able to complete a caliphate in that area where it's fully Muslim across the board. Which in reality, like a religion like Islam, that's that way where you're killing apostates and stuff, right? If you're extreme, you're killing apostates. In reality, is everybody really Islam? Like, yeah, maybe the countries will claim they're all Muslims, but do they all really practice Islam? And they really truly believe in it in their hearts? Probably not, if I had to guess. So the Islamic period in the seventh century, because I keep seeing the CE and it's confusing the shit out of me, because we used to do AD when I was in school. I don't know what the fuck the CE even means. Christ's E, I don't know what that means. So Arab Muslim armies conquered the region, brought Islam to the area, like I said, and that's why this is where the caliphate was created or was finished there. So that's why I said it's a strategic position historically for a lot of Muslims for that reason. And then after that, the Ottoman Empire ended up conquering it, and then they owned that shit for like hundreds of years. Ottoman Empire was a mix of everything in terms of religion, because it held such a long air, like, was such a huge country, or whatever you would want. I guess you call it the country. And then they lasted till World War One, and then World War One, it was given over to the British. And that's why they call it British Palestine. So the British owned it for, like, I think from, like, 1920 to 1948, and they gave it to the Jews. They did kick some Palestinians off the land to give it to the Jews. And like I said, if you can't defend your borders, I've said this before, and it's kind of on you, like, no one really gives a fuck, you know? I mean, in today's day and age, everybody's going to care because it's super civilized, and in America, people are very soft in the Western world. They don't have real issues, so they worry about other things that aren't their problem. So that's the reason why people really actually fucking care. But in reality, like, if you can't defend your borders, no one gives a shit. If Taiwan got taken tomorrow, in America, we can sit here and we can whine about it and we can cry about it, but it doesn't really matter. No one really cares at the end of the day. That's just the way it goes, you know? So, yeah, West Bank, Gaza Strip, Six-Day War. And then over time, what happened was there was a lot of land, I think, given to Israel. Israel gave some of it back, and then Israel took some of it, and then Israel gave some of it back. It's just like constantly a push-pull kind of idea. So, historically, actually, if you look at, Jesus had, I think it's Joshua 22:13. Yeah, 23:13, my apologies. So, if you look into the Old Testament, there is a quote, and I will pull that up as well. So this is actually kind of cool software. If I could figure out how to stream, I could probably do some cool shit. So, Joshua 23:13, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your back and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. So God talks about multiple times in the Old Testament that he has given the land to the Jew, or to the Hebrews, right? And the land he's referring to is Israel. And he's talking to the Israelites, and then he's pretty much saying, I'm trying to pull up the verse, like, right before this, 23:12, if my computer wasn't running so fucking hard right now, because I'm running on Chrome. I should have just pulled up Firefox, which once again, Chrome is, you know, it's monetized, I guess is the best way to put it, whereas Firefox isn't, because Firefox is open source, and it does not run as hard. Like, if I'm looking at my CPUs right now, running on this OBX platform, I'm running about 15% CPUs, and then I bet you a large chunk of it is on this Google Chrome when it's not necessary. There's no reason. I'm trying to find, but if you turn away, okay, so this is the very, right before this, right before that quote I just said, he says, but if you turn away and ally yourself with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then he said, you're going to have these, you're essentially going to have war all the time. You're going to have pandemonium, you're going to have fights, you're going to have turbulence, right? Reason he says this, why? Because they're not believers. They're non-believers in God, they're pagans. The Canaanites in the region, that's what they were at the time, right? So the reason why he is preaching to people, he's telling them, hey, keep your belief in God, follow God, continue to follow, and don't intermarry, don't commingle with these people. These people are pagans, and if you do so, then there will be fights on your land forever. And some of this can be interpreted today as, like, if you're a non-believer, right, if you're not a believer in God, you don't believe in Jesus Christ, from the Christian perspective, you don't believe in Jesus Christ, because there are things in the Old Testament that are written about Jesus Christ, and the Jews don't believe in Jesus Christ anymore, so... Or they never did. There's also some really weird stuff. I have some very religious friends that tell me about this stuff, and they said there's some weird things. I can't remember the names he was bringing up, but there's some weird things about the Jews and how they took out scripture in the Old Testament that referred to Jesus Christ to try to kind of prove their point that Jesus is not the Messiah, right? So essentially, this says in this Old Testament, hey, you don't follow me. You don't follow the word of God, which is also Jesus, my son, right, that I sent to die for your sins. If you do not follow that, and then you will, like, forever in this region, in this land in which God I have given you, you will be fucked. And there will be fighting forever, and it'll never end. And it kind of is true. It's like there's certain things that you end up reading that you find. You find excerpts, like every little thing that you want to... refer in the Bible, you can find it. It is very interesting. If you look up judgment quotes in the Bible. Let's see if I can find something. There's tons of things about judging and then not judging and then judge. Do not judge or you too will be judged, for we must all appear before judgment seat of Christ. But because of your stubbornness and unrepented heart. I mean, there's like so many different quotes. But yeah, there are so many other quotes about where you can judge people if they are being unholy. It's very interesting. So this is what it says. This is actually a quote that everybody likes to quote. And this one's great, right? This is Matthew 7, 1 to 2, right? The New Testament. And this is this is amazing. Do not judge, right? That's what everybody says. Hey, didn't God say do not judge? It's in the New Testament, right? Everyone says do not judge. That's the one part. They miss the rest. They miss the rest of the fucking quote. They just say do not judge. So do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others... Oh, sorry, let me pull up the screen. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So... The statement is, if you're going to be very, very judgmental of people, then you better have your shit in line. The way in which you judge people, the standard that you have for yourself, you better have the or the way you judge people is the same standard you should have for yourself. It does not necessarily say, don't judge people. It just says, if you judge, you then will be judged. So if you say something like, hey, you should not rob people, then you also should not then be a robber, is the point. The point is not that you should never judge anybody. The point is if you're holding people to a standard, you better have that same standard. Which is literally the exact opposite. Because most likely when Christ followers, when Christians are coming out and they are judging or they're making comments or they are giving opinions about something, right? They then in turn... most likely the opinion they're giving is because they're living that life and you're not living the same life as them. Most likely that's how it is. So I do find that to be pretty fucking amusing, to be honest. So yeah, if you start looking through some of this stuff, you'll find that you'll find that a lot of the atheist arguments are shit. They're fucking horrible. But you know, like when people say, why do bad things happen, right? You ever hear that one? I've heard that one a million times. Is you don't ever think that God is so beyond your comprehension, he's so superior to you, that you cannot comprehend the way in which he makes things work out or the way in which things happen, right? You do have your free will, but for example, kid has cancer, passes away, right? The kid didn't purposely go and get cancer. That was an act, right? An act of God or an act of something, right? I don't know what you really want to call it. But the whole point is you don't understand what God has in store for that child. You have no idea what God's intentions are. I think that a lot of people kind of get mad at things, bad things that happen to them. And it's even on the small level. You know, you get in a car accident. You don't die or anything. You just get in a car accident. You tow your car. This is going to cost you $1,000. Like, you have no idea. Not $1,000, more than $1,000, but you know what I'm saying. You have no idea, really, what the intention is, what the end game is in that case. Yeah, I find that very interesting. So let me look into some of this stuff that I have written here. Ooh, I never came out about Kanye West over the last few years. I'll talk about Kanye West, but... Like I said, the point is that they want you to be anti-Hamas, and if you notice everyone around you, even like left-wing pundits are getting pretty extreme with it. They want another war. I have no problem. I don't really take a side on this stuff. I think Hamas is bad. I also do think that if you believe what is currently going on in Israel, when it comes to the food and water is being supplied by Israel to Palestine, right? To the West Bank. So they're supporting it. They cut it off recently. I haven't really seen a fully launched attack and initiative. I think the longer it takes, the worse it can be, because then that means that Israel is really mobilizing and they may just go into a landmass attack. which would be pretty crazy to send troops in to the West Bank and attempt to just like weed out Hamas. I don't think that you're going to be able to kill radical Islam by killing Hamas personally. I'm not saying that's you shouldn't kill Hamas for that reason, but I'm just saying there's still Hezbollah in the north in Lebanon that runs it over there, and I forgot the one that runs it in Africa, their name as well. I mean, there's still a lot of them. There's ISIS, there's Taliban. They're all different. They all kind of fight each other, and it's funny because, like I said, I was mentioning the Canaanites, you know, literally 3,000 years ago. The Canaanites were just like this. They were miniature tribes, and they all fought each other in the Middle East. Did the same fucking shit that the that God was warning us about 3,000 fucking years ago. Yeah. So I find that to be hilarious. Yeah, but taking them out's not really going to take out that problem there. I don't think they shouldn't take them out. The only problem is that when they go to take them out, these people are using, Hamas are using civilians, or they're in civilian areas. I don't necessarily know if they're using them as shields. That's what people are reporting. If that's the case, yeah, then they're using civilians as shields, and we definitely know they're in civilian areas. So if we're bombing Hamas, there will no doubt be civilian casualties. About half the country is made up of children over there. I mean, it's not a huge country, but half of them are children. I think it's a win-win for Hamas, honestly. I know that sounds horrible, but their ideology is to die. Their ideology, because they're savages, and their ideology is to die, right? And it makes Israel look bad that they're bombing and killing civilians. So I feel like at the end of the day, the way to kill them, I honestly don't know what the... I think in terms of foreign relations, the best move would be to open up, to find somebody that would take them in. The problem is Egypt doesn't want to take them. Egypt has a hard border. Israel doesn't want to take them. And those are the two bordering countries. And then you can go to the north to Lebanon, but they're going to have to cross through Israel to get to Lebanon, or they're going to have to cross through Israel to get to Jordan if they want to go there. But I don't think Jordan would want them either. So it's a very weird situation. I feel like there's no win. There's no win-win in this scenario, you know. My whole position, and it's pretty much been this way even with the Ukraine war, is why it's just like civilians dying for over nothing, really. I mean, it's like two, well, not over nothing, but it's like two groups that want to kill each other. You know, one group killed a bunch of civilians, so the other group's going to turn around and kill a bunch of civilians. But we're supposed to respect the civilian killing in one case and not respect the civilian killing in the other is kind of the point, because one is reactive and one was proactive. So, you know, the reasoning behind one is different than the reasoning behind the other, I think is the point, or the provoked or unprovoked. But you can debate the provoked part, because from what I've been reading is it kind of sounds like the West Bank. I keep saying the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, because the West Bank's on the east side of Israel. The Gaza Strip is pretty much there. Like I said, the food comes from Israel, the water comes from Israel. They're not able to leave. There's nowhere they can go. So, you know, when people say it's an open air prison, it's kind of in that position. It's like shooting monkeys in a barrel. They're all kind of just like together in one spot, and there's nothing they can do about it, to me, it seems like. I mean, don't get me wrong. If there's some sort of way for them to get out, the civilians to get out, but I think they give the civilians like 24 hours or something before they start bombing them. I believe that was the statement. I don't fuck. I mean, it's so bad. I don't really have any good answers for you folks. My point is that I didn't even go over how the Crusaders owned that land for a long time, too. The Crusaders owned that land for like 300 years, from 1000 to 1300. That's when the Christians owned Israel. I forgot to mention that as well. So the Christians fought for Israel, too. I mean, the Christians owned Israel. To be honest with you, the Christians may have owned Israel for the longest amount of time, the longest period of time, if you look into it. But I could be wrong. Because unless if you consider the Israelites as Jews, which I don't really consider them as Jews, I just consider them as like early, a combination of Christians and Jews. So it's not really the same, because we agree on the Old Testament, but we like don't agree on anything after that. It's kind of what it comes down to. I don't know. It's weird. I don't really have much. Either side, I don't really have much. I don't have anything for either one of them. It's really the point. I've noticed this, too, is like a tactic the media is using, because the media is running with it. The media is saying, like, oh, 1,200 Israelis died, and that's equal to 30,000 Americans. It's like, the statement of 1,200 Israelis died is already good enough. Like, we already know that fucking sucks. It's not good. It's terrible. Everybody condemns that, right? Why do we need to bring up 30? Why do we need to compare it to U.S. numbers? Like, why do we have to do? I feel like that's so fucking dishonest that we have to do that. It's like we need to get people on board with this initiative, essentially, is the reason for saying that, right? And that's the whole point, which is why I'm like so anti-war most of the time. Unless if the United States has actually like a real benefit from this, and I would imagine the only benefit would be Israeli intelligence, which who knows how good Israeli intelligence is, because how the fuck did this attack happen? This attack happened on also like military bases on the border between the West Bank and Israel. So like, what is happening? Is kind of the point. Like, what are you guys doing, your intelligence agencies? Which I would imagine you guys are probably doing the same shit that United States intelligence agencies are doing, slimy stuff to try to set up proxy wars. If I had to like sit here and really guess on it, and the United States, I'm sure, likes the idea of it. We've really become accustomed. We've grown accustomed to this, and it's both sides, this war hawk mentality. And the people that are against it have been getting so much shit. People like Trump. Notice they're like trying to lock up Trump. Trump fucking didn't want war anywhere. But he did say if something happens, like, we'll fucking blow your shit like sky high. We don't care about having some sort of proxy war or having some sort of occupational war like Iraq, where we sat there for, you know, 20 years and we cleared out Ramadi multiple times. The most deadly city in all of Iraq. It was infested with extremists. Like, we're not going to do any of that shit. We're just going to blow you up and we're not going to care, essentially, is the statement that he made. You know, I found this with Sean Hannity last night, actually. Sean Hannity with Vivek. I think it was last night or the night before that. I can't remember. Vivek went on his show and Sean Hannity started attacking him for being a business owner. And then after that, He said, oh, well, you never have worked in government, so I don't think you should be the president. It's like, yeah, well, dude, your best friend is, your guy is Trump, Sean. Like, Sean Hannity, your guy, you have been nothing but this whole time, like, while Trump was president, I don't know what he does now, because I don't fucking watch that show to begin with. But I would watch the interviews when Trump would go on purposely, because I'd be like, I want to see how they cover him on Fox News, and Sean always gave him, like, a pretty fair and honest interview. Right? So you've always been, here's the thing, you've always been like a huge Trump fucking fan, right? Trump was never, he never ran in government either. He was never a government official. And he was the president. I don't understand. The statements they're just outrageous, you know? It is something else, honestly. And then he was saying that the military industrial complex is good. He said people that work for the military industry or make the defense industry are good people, and I'd rather have them leading the country. He said something like that. And I'm like, dude, this guy. He did say that. He said, I would rather have them leading the country, people that work in the defense industry. So, like, not even people that are in the military. Like, people in the defense industry that are making the bombs and the fucking missiles. They should be our people to run the government, because that's been working so well so far, right? Because they run like a little proxy war and a proxy government at the same time. It does show that if you turn on Fox News, it is super, super fucking like getting left wing to moderate. I watched them the other night with Kevin McCarthy went on, and Kevin McCarthy's a good friend of Trump, right? And they may have some disagreements on things, but they are cordial, they are friends. And Kevin McCarthy, maybe it's because he's a smooth negotiator, maybe he sees it as like a political opportunity to be cool with Trump. But Trump does like Kevin McCarthy, because Kevin McCarthy's always been cool with him. Whether or not he agrees with him politically, whatever. So he went on there, and Brett Baer's on there. Brett Baer's taking like little bullshit quotes that Trump is saying, and he's taking them completely out of context, purposely, and it's related to the Israel war. And it's great. I'm already calling it the Israel war, so it's going to work on people. People are going to believe that this is like some crazy war that we need to support, just like Ukraine. It's been going on now for like almost 2 fucking years. What was I saying? Yeah, he went on Brett Baer's show, Kevin McCarthy. So they're misquoting something Trump said. Trump is referring to Bibi Netanyahu. And he said something about, hey, Netanyahu took the credit for that, and we did that. He kind of screwed us on that. He said like one sentence negative about Bibi, right? Before that, there was like a 10-minute like rally for Israel. And like I said, I'm not like a diehard fucking Israel fan, right? So this is something with Trump. I disagree with U.S. leaders putting on yarmulkes and showing up to fucking religious sites and then being like, I'm Jewish now. Like, I just don't understand it. The shilling is fucking stupid. Why is it that they're not doing that for Christians? Why aren't they going to Christian churches and doing the same thing? I find it very odd. I think it's a total shill. They're trying to win votes when they do that. I'm not a fan of it. I think in America it's very easy to shit all over Christian men because Christian men created the country. It's a Western nation built on Christian values. That's the reason in which they shit all over Christian dudes, and no one really stands up for them is the point. So they'd rather wear like a yarmulke and go to some Jewish temple or something because the Jews run the media. So they need to like do certain things so the Jews try, and they think they're going to get positive coverage, but then they realize you come back to America, 80% of the Jews vote for Democrats anyway, so it doesn't even matter. I don't even know why Republicans do this shit, to be honest with you, because at the end of the day, the Orthodox that actually vote for Republicans, those Orthodox are going to vote for Republicans regardless if he shows up to Israel or not. I mean, the guy declared Jerusalem as the capital. He declared Jerusalem as Israeli territory, and he put a U.S. embassy there. So yeah, it's just dishonest. The whole point is that Trump is like a super hardcore pro-Israel guy, right? His kids, he has grandkids that are Jewish, right? His daughter's married to a Jewish guy. And they're trying to demean him, and they're trying to make it as if he is not pro-Israel, and then they're taking his quotes out of context. And even Kevin McCarthy was like, I have no problems with Donald Trump. Like, we're cool. He had the opportunity to shit all over Donald Trump. And that would have appealed to the left wing. He little would have looked good to the left. And then some moderate Republicans, also known as Democrats, would have appealed to them as well. But he did not do that. He didn't take the time to shit on Trump. Then you look through recordings and you see Ron DeSantis. I can't remember the name of the other one. I don't know if it was Tim Scott. I'm sure Chris Christie probably shit on him. Just because Chris Christie, that's what he does. Because he's a fucking scumbag. He's a dirty... Let me tell you, he flip-flops like crazy. He was so pro-Trump. He wanted a job in the cabinet. He didn't get the job, so now he's crying again. And now he's running again for office. That's all it is. He wanted the cabinet spot. He's butthurt because he didn't get it. Because he was the one that got Jared Kushner's father pinched in New York. Or in New Jersey, technically. Because I think he lived in New Jersey, but he worked in New York. Because he was the AG here. That's the reason. That's a little inside baseball. A little local politics baseball. That's the reason why he couldn't allow Chris Christie to be in his cabinet. Because he had, like, his chief of staff. And the people that worked in his staff, one of them being his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner's father got locked up on some white-collar bullshit crime. And the one that put him in prison was the AG at the time was Chris Christie. So that's the reason. But yeah, so Ron DeSantis took his time to shit all over Trump, say he's not pro-Israel, which to me is just very dishonest. And my point is with the Republican voters, with the right-wing voters, especially ones that are voting for Trump, you're not going to win people over if you are being dishonest like the media is, because these voters know that the media is dishonest. So if you're going to run with media narratives and media stories, which is a lot of what I saw in the last debate, a lot of the Republican debaters, like what's her name, that woman that I hate, I can't remember her name, Nikki Haley was another one that ran with the Trump thing too. That's who I was thinking of. If you're going to be dishonest, you're going to use left-wing arguments, left-wing attacks that come from left-wing outlets in order to try to justify attacking somebody, or like think it's a winning point is kind of the point, then you're going to lose. That's what's going to happen. You have no chance of winning when you act like that, because that is left-wing shit, and people that are right-wing, most of them are smart enough to realize that you're doing left-wing rhetoric, and they're not going to follow you. They're not going to vote for you. They're not going to switch their Trump vote. Yeah, maybe you'll win some other moderates that are splitting the vote with Trump right now, but you're not going to get Trump voters to switch off because you shit on Trump, and you're dishonest like the media is, and you cover him dishonestly, and you agree with the dishonest media. Is really the point more than anything else. Let me see what else I got here. Oh, Kanye. Jesus. So Kanye, this kind of gets back to this Christianity, this hatred of Christianity in the Western world, especially in the United States. You could shit all over Christian men, white men. Honestly, white men, black men, doesn't even matter. If they're Christian, you could shit all over them. You could try to find dishonest arguments, referring to the Bible, and you've never read the Bible, So I've actually, I was watching Logan Paul, just like a highlight, because that guy George, I'm not really into that Logan Paul thing, right? He had this guy George, and he looks like he's maybe Hispanic or he's from the Middle East or something, right? And it was his friend for a long fucking time. And I was watching clips of Logan just dishonestly trying to debate his friend on Christianity. And it's always an attack on God and an attack on Christians all the time, right? And he was good. He would debate him back and forth or whatever on their show. And he would kind of, he was very dishonest. He was telling him, if God is not doing it for you, he said something like, you need a therapist, you don't need God, which is hilarious to think that another human being can fix all of your problems, but God, the creator, cannot fix all of your problems. And then after that, you know, Logan's like, oh, well, just so you guys know, I'm not an atheist, you know, I believe in God and this and that and the other thing. It's like, dude, then you don't believe in God, bro. You do not believe in God if you think that God cannot fix, and I'm saying somebody that isn't like a fucking psychopath. I'm not saying some guy that has like severe mental illness, just some normal ass dude that's going through it, you know? If he's going through it, it's a normal ass guy, and you're telling him that he doesn't need to see, that he needs to see a therapist, God isn't doing it for him, then you're not a believer. You just aren't. Because you would understand, if you're a believer, you would totally understand. And you would never say that. You would never equate a therapist, actually not even equate, say that a therapist is superior than God. If you're a believer in God, you fucking retard. So, yeah, like I said, it's like in the mainstream. It's the mainstream narrative. You know how many kids watch Logan Paul? How many fucking people are agreeing with that shit? And Logan Paul grew up in the same era as me. We're probably about the same age. We grew up in the same era. And yeah, I was an atheist at one point too. But, you know, you grow up and you realize that you're fucking stupid. But yeah, Kanye's message, the whole point is, Kanye's message, he went on Alex Jones' show, that's where he got shit on probably the most, or the media gave him the hardest time from that. His message was always about God, was always about Christianity, he loves everyone, that was always like the statement, right? But the media, dishonestly, would put out small clips of where he said he loved Hitler, he loved Nazis or whatever, but then he also said in the same sentence, I love Jews, I love everybody, this, that, the other thing, right? It was much more of he was preaching love and he was preaching God more than he was really preaching anti-Semitism, quote unquote, you know? I don't even like to use that term because we're all Semitics. A lot of us are Semitics, at least, like I am. You know, it means that you derived from that land itself, which I did. So calling somebody anti-Semitic that is a Semitic is stupid. I don't know why I don't just call it anti-Jewish. I think there's a point to that. I think there's a reason why you call people anti-Semitic. It's supposed to make it like the Jews were the only people. It's definitely like a, let me think. It's definitely like a political, like, dictionary word game where we're redefining definitions of things. So being Semitic means that you are from the land. Let me see what. I'm just going to say, what is a Semite? And you can see the results, I'll tell you right now. Oh no, it's taking forever to come up with the answer on ChatGPT. This thing's probably fucking wrecked because I've been... Oh, here it is. So, Semitic languages. So, I'll show you on the other screen. If it shows up. I hope it does. So Hebrew is the language of the Jewish people and the Old Testament of the Bible. These are Semitic languages. A Semite refers to a member of a Semitic language group, which include a number of languages spoken in the Middle East and parts of Africa. So if you derive from the Middle East or Africa, you are technically a Semite. You spoke Arabic, Aramaic, Akkadian, which I don't know where, that's people from Mesopotamia, which is kind of like the Greek area, the Balkans, Phoenician, same thing, that's around like the Eastern Mediterranean, kind of like where Italy is, where the Greeks are, this, that, the other thing, right? If you are any of those people, you are a Semite. Over time now, it's being used, it's more restricted to people that are ethnically Jewish or Arab, is the way that they're making it seem, which is also stupid, because you can't be anti-Semitic if you're a bunch of people that live in a Arab country, then, in this case. So the whole thing is like word salad bullshit games. But they've been calling Kanye this, and they've been dishonestly covering everything with Kanye, and the reason they're doing so is because they don't like the narrative of God. They don't like the idea of Christianity. They don't like the idea of a black guy finding Christianity and having followers that are also black that find Christianity because he finds Christianity. It's a big problem for them because there's a bunch of votes that go out the window when that happens. That's the whole point. If you have a bunch of men that are Christians, and then they marry, because they're Christians, they end up marrying women, and then they convert those women to Christianity, they convert those. Those are all voters that are going right out the window for Democrats. So that's the idea why they hate Christianity being extolled, being pushed, being promoted by mainstream figures like Kanye West. And I mean, they did what they could to shit all over Chris Pratt too. They called him a white supremacist because he wore a Don't Tread on Me shirt, and he's a religious guy. I mean, there's a bunch of them in Mel Gibson's another one in Hollywood that have been attacked because they're Christians, essentially. I mean, that's what ends up happening. And it's funny that there's always like some bullshit narrative behind it, but the real reason is because they're Christians. And you take one or two quotes out of context, and you take little snippets, and that's what they did with Trump. You know, they do the same thing to Christians out there. Very last thing I want to talk about was... Well, there's two different things. There's that guy that was stabbed in Brooklyn in the heart. His wife, I believe it's his wife or his girlfriend. I'm just going to use wife for this conversation. She put out a fucking GoFundMe afterwards. She wouldn't even identify the guy that stabbed her man. And that's how sick and cruel the left-wing Antifa ideology is, because that's what they were. They were Antifa members. That somebody kills your husband, and you don't even fucking care. You're like, well, I don't want the person that stabbed my husband to go to prison for doing it. I don't want any type of retribution. And I agree with him stabbing my husband. Can you guys send money, please? I mean, it's pathetic. It's sick. It's sick. I went on the GoFundMe page and I saw a bunch of people that were giving $5 and just destroying this woman, saying, look at you trying to benefit off the death of your husband after you wouldn't even identify his killer to the police. Like, how sad, how sorry, how spineless, how cowardly of somebody to do this. Like, that's what people were saying. I agree. I don't disagree with them. I think they're right. I think they're righteous. But yeah, it just shows, like, left-wingers, this is why that they are sick mentally. They're mentally ill at much higher rates than right-wingers are. I mean, I see it. I saw it on Facebook after January 6th. I saw the girls. It's mostly women. There's some dudes, too, because dudes are always trying to, like, simp and shit. But I saw the women freaking out, reeing out. I said one thing. I got blocked by a bunch of them. They're just people that are not mentally stable. There's a reason they block people. They would rather block people than having a discussion about anything. It's because they don't actually have anything to back up their feelings. Everything's emotional, right? So for the most part, emotional arguments suck. I don't like to hear from them. I give them their credence to an extent, but I mean, it only goes so far. Like I said, emotional arguments, whether or not you're going to cry if there's a war in the Middle East or not, is not going to stop the war from happening. There's other ways to try to fix that problem, right? I would say probably spreading Christianity would be a way to fix it, but no one's going to agree with me there. Other Christians will, but others won't. Jesus was a good dude. Muhammad was not a good dude. It is what it is. If you look at the statistics and how many people were killed by Muhammad, how many wives he had that were underage, like 8 years old and shit. There's a lot of really weird shit. So I would say spreading Christianity probably fixes a lot of problems in the United States. They don't want your problems fixed. They benefit off of your failure as a population, as a citizenry, and keeping you weak, it gives them more power. For them, money is really a means to an end. I don't believe it's all about money for them. I don't believe money is the root of all evil. I think money is just a tool that they can use to weaponize against you to destroy you further, and implement a global regime and have full authoritarian control over everybody. That's just my personal view, though, on that. Very last thing I want to talk about was Black Klansman. I watched it a few years ago. It won some awards. I mean, it's a decent movie. I think that it was definitely used to try to imply that Trump voters are KKK members. At some point in the middle of the movie, everybody gets their robes or whatever. Some of them get approved to be in the Klan hood. And then they start chanting America First, which is something that Trump would often say. There's an entire Republican movement around American First. They call themselves American First Republicans. I mean, at first they were calling them MAGA Republicans. A lot of them call them AF Republicans, America First. I know Nick Fuentes is in that movement. There's a point. The point is to discredit people that say, I am America. Realize how crazy of an idea that is? to say simply, I am America first, as in I believe in the success and the prosperity in America above everyone else, meaning like American citizens. That means black, white, fucking everything, across the board. That means anyone that lives in America, right? White supremacists are not going to be yelling America first. They're going to be yelling whites first or some stupid shit like that, right? They're going to be yelling white power. They're not going to be yelling about America first. They just aren't. So in this case, in this, you know, Spike Lee, the director, and he's often, he makes these critical cultural Marxist movies, and he's good at making movies, but that part is the part that just makes you sick to watch, honestly. It's repulsive to watch that kind of shit. I used to be so repulsed by a lot of the BLM shit that when I would turn on TV shows and they had to make a point to point out BLM, I would just shut, they would lose me as a watcher for years. And then I'd come back to it later maybe when I have nothing else to do. But they would lose people. They would lose viewership for doing shit like that from my perspective, because it's a total Marxist ploy, and it's horseshit, and they know it's horseshit, but they won't admit that it is. And then they push that narrative, and if you push the narrative enough, then somehow people think it's true. If you tell people over and over again, 2 + 2 = 5, 2 + 2 = 5, 2 + 2 = 5, it's the idea of actually believing it, that 2 + 2 = 5. And if our media in America did that enough, I can guarantee you a high percentage of the populace would agree that 2 + 2 does indeed actually equal 5, if they wanted to do so. So that is the whole point. That is the Marxist ploy in this case. And at the very end of the movie, they show Trump after Charlottesville, Virginia. I believe they were taking a Thomas Jefferson flag down. There were some white supremacists that were fighting to keep the flag up, or not flag, I'm sorry, the statue up. And amongst them, there was regular right-wing voters, and there was left-wing voters, and there was like left-wing. There was Antifa, essentially, left-wing voters, regular people. Then there was regular right-wingers, and there was, like, the white supremacy people. And I don't even necessarily know if the white supremacy people are actually right-wing voters. I think a lot of them, like Richard Spencer's, are Democrat voters, because they believe that Democrat policies are the worst for the black race. So that's why they will vote for Democrats, which is kind of funny. It's like, yeah, you know, it's ironic, because the Democrats make it like they're all about the working man, they're all about minority groups, but really all their policies hurt minority groups pretty badly. Right. Most of them, not all of them. But they took Trump out of context. They showed the quote where Trump said, the sound clip, soundbite, where Trump said that there were fine people on both sides, which he did say. But right before that, he prefaces his comments by saying, the white supremacists, I believe they should be condemned totally. The white supremacists, they should be condemned totally. He goes, I'm not talking about the white supremacists. They should be condemned totally. So he took a stance. He fully condemned the white supremacists that were at the event. But then he said, amongst those white supremacists, though, there were fine people on both sides. Which to me isn't a crazy statement to make. I mean, I could take the same statement and I can relate it to Israel. I could say that there's some people on both sides that are fine people. And then there's also really bad fucking people on both sides, too. I'm sure. I mean, it's like a very general statement. It's pretty harmless. It's innocuous, but... Well, that's it. I guess we're going to pack it in for this week, and I'll get back to you folks next week. Hopefully, the formatting of this turns out to be okay. I appreciate everyone for tuning in, as always. Take care.